Aren't you thankful for the ministry of Jesus? Glory to God. The Bible says in Luke 4, he came to heal the brokenhearted. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. If you need that ministry today, that Jesus would minister to you to heal your broken heart, I encourage you, reach up your hands right now. All of us reach toward heaven in an act of faith. But if you need that, you take that for yourself today. If you've been through something terrible in the past, you were abused, you were divorced, your husband left you, your parents didn't treat you right, your parents abandoned you, something, and you're brokenhearted over it, listen to me, the Holy Ghost will minister to you today. He said in Luke 4, he's been sent to heal the brokenhearted. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. If you're watching by live stream and that applies to you, you can take that for yourself at home. Thank you, Father God. We honor you and bless you. Hallelujah. Isn't Jesus good?
Yes, Lord.
Glory to God. It's interesting to me. The Holy Ghost can do so many things we can't do. And one thing he can do is he can get a whole group of people together like this and minister to each one individually. That's amazing. That is God. Hallelujah. And so if you need that, you can take that for yourself. Glory to God. You don't have to be brokenhearted about it anymore. And sometimes there is another step, and it's that you have to forgive. And they might never know that you had to forgive them. They might never know that you prayed that prayer to forgive them. And you just go and say, Father, I know that so-and-so hurt me. And Lord God, I forgive them by faith right now. No matter what they did, I won't remember it anymore. And see, that's how you get free from that. That's how you go on and you're not damaged goods. Amen. Because God doesn't want you to bring those hurts from the past into your present. He set us free from those things. If you don't believe me, read Luke 4:18. That was the ministry of Jesus. That's what he said when he came to the church, is that he came to heal the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. And so if that pertained to you, you can do it right now. I encourage you, do it as soon as possible. Because the quicker you do it, you know, God looks for obedience in us. Quick obedience. You know, that's what I look for in my children, that when I told them to clean their room, they didn't wait 2 days. That when I told them, they said, yes, Mom, and went to clean their room. And so that pleases the Father, too. And so just forgive and forget. Amen. Hallelujah. And it takes faith to do that. Because as soon as you forgive and you forget, listen, 2 seconds later, the devil's coming back around with that same thought. He's coming back to tell you, you didn't forget. Oh, yes, I did. And listen, by faith, you have to forget. On purpose, you have to forget. And so when those thoughts come again to remind you of that situation, what you have to say is, I won't remember it. I forgot it. I forgave and I forgot. Hallelujah. That's how you do that. And so that was our step of faith. And today I'm going to minister to you on faith. Hallelujah. as I said, my husband is the senior pastor here at the church. And he will be back next Sunday. But until then, you get me. Hallelujah. I'm like the substitute teacher. You know, like when you were in school and you got to school and you saw you had a sub, you were like, yes, because it was going to be fun. And you got more playtime. You got out early. Hallelujah. And you look forward to when they came again. Blessed is the short-winded preacher. They shall be heard again. So I'm not looking to keep you late. I'm looking to get you out early. Hallelujah. This is why my husband and I work really well together. We complement each other. Hallelujah. And it took me 10 years of marriage to figure that out. Just kidding. Sorta. And so I want to minister some things to you today on faith. Already the Holy Ghost did minister to you some things on faith. Because it takes faith. And listen, if you are not watchful over your faith, you know, certain traumatic events, certain things of the past will try and dictate your life, will try and make you make decisions out of fear instead of out of faith. And, you know, if you had a miscarriage if you divorced, the enemy will be there to remind you over and over and over again, that's what you're destined for. Your next, you know, pregnancy will not carry full term. You're going to miscarry. That your next marriage, it can't be a success because the first one wasn't. And that's a lie. And part of faith is to answer the lie of the enemy. Faith is not just talking to God. Faith is being able to answer situations and talk back to the devil. That's what faith is about. Because listen, he's talking all day long. But that's all he's doing. He's just talking. And your job is to answer him. Amen. Glory to God. Because listen, you know, it matters what we hear, because what we hear becomes what we believe. That's what faith is about. Go with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And this is how we get faith. Romans 10, 17. And we know this. This is the basis of faith. This is how faith comes. But sometimes we have minimized the effect of the things that we hear. You know, for example, when I was growing up, my mom had this big old Coupe de Ville. It was a Coupe de Ville Cadillac, and it was all beautiful on the outside, red, cherry red, had white leather on the inside, beautiful big car. And my mom, as she was driving us around to school and different things, we always listened to those 80s love ballads, you know, on the radio. And, you know, those things are catchy. And the reason they put those things out, so you say it. But how many of you know, you went through a breakup with your boyfriend, next thing you know, you're crying over that love song. Why? Because it meant something. The words had a power. And so sometimes we have diminished the power of the words coming through our ear. It's important what we hear. It's important we guard the music that we listen to. You know that song we sang today, Reverend Tony? Ministered that song beautifully, a great anointing on it. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Do you know that's a scripture and a prayer out of the book of Revelation? So if you want to know what songs to listen to songs that are scripture and a prayer. And you can't go wrong. Hallelujah. And so Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we want to hear the word of God so that the faith in our heart grows and develops in his word. But everything you hear, you have the potential to have faith in. You know, when I was growing up, you know your parents, how they used to say the same thing over and over and over again? And you swore when you were a parent you'd never do that to your kids? And then you still do it. And so my mom, when we were growing up, she would always say, And I'm not exactly sure why, but she would say, you know, that dishwashers don't really clean the dishes. She always told me that. I'm not sure why. We never had one. But she would always say that the dishwasher didn't really get the dishes clean. And so I never had a dishwasher till I moved into my house that I'm in now. And I'm not kidding. I have to resist the temptation to wash my dishes before I put them in the dishwasher because I still think the dishwasher doesn't get the dishes clean. Just because she said it all the time. You know, my mom, she's a very neat person. She likes things cleaned, particular. She washes her hands, but her floors by hand. And, you know, she does the spring cleaning every year, washes all the windows inside and out. And you didn't clean unless you washed under all the furniture and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, she would say to us, you know, you don't mop the floor. That doesn't really get it clean. That just pushes the dirt to the corners. If you want to clean your floor, you wash it by hand. And so I never even owned a mop until within the last 6 months, and it was because someone else was going to use it at my house, because in my mind, the floors weren't clean unless I washed them by hand. And so, you see, we hear things over and over and over again, and whether it's true or not, we have faith in it. That's why I say, guard what you hear. Because everything you hear has the potential to be what you believe. And at times there will come pressure to your mind from the enemy that the word isn't real. And when that pressure comes, you hold to it no matter what. You take everything you've got and hold to that word. I remember there was a time where I was sitting in my living room and I was under attack in my body, and I felt the devil trying to take my life, and I sat there, and I put the scripture CDs in my DVD player, and you know, I had the surround sound, the speakers, and just played it, and as soon as it was done, I'd play it again, and then when that was done, I'd play it another one, and through the whole thing, the devil's trying to tell me, this doesn't work. This doesn't work. The message of healing is a lie, because look how you feel. And the whole time trying to tell me that what I was hearing was a lie. And you know what you do? Keep hearing. Keep hearing. Because then faith keeps growing. Amen. And you are only responsible to the measure in which you know. God doesn't hold you accountable for what you don't know. That would be unjust, wouldn't it? As a parent, you don't do that to your own kids. And so he only expects you to operate in faith to the measure in which you know. And many times in the congregation, someone will be going through a trial and they'll feel like they're not doing enough in their faith because they're not doing what I might do or what Tim might do. But that's not important. You do what you know and God will bless that. If you exercise it to the measure in which you know, God will bless it and he will meet your faith. You know, it was a couple years ago, my grandpa was diagnosed with cancer, and he was on death's doorstep. And it, well, I don't even think it was the cancer so much that was killing him. It was the treatments they gave him to take care of the cancer, you know. He had chemo treatments, and it was quite radical. And so he was depressed. And my grandpa, he thought depression was like a myth. He doesn't believe in depression. You know, if you have anxiety, it's just superstition. You know, he doesn't agree in all that stuff. And so he was such a strong-minded man, a strong-willed man. But when he had that trial upon his body, he became weak in that. And so anyways, he was very thin, and he was dying, and we knew it. And so one day we were all together at my aunt's house, and Tim and I started talking to him around the table. It was just we were playing cards. And we started talking to him around the table about how, Grandpa, you can be healed. Jesus is our healer, because my grandparents are very devout Catholic. They're good Catholics. They do actually go to church every week, and they do give in the offering, and they love the Lord. And so we told Grandpa, we said, Grandpa, you can be healed. And he shot up out of his chair, and he said, I want to be healed. And Tim said, now, Quentin, you don't have to be healed. And he said, but if you want, I'll lay hands on you, and you'll be healed. And he goes, no, I want it. I want it. And so he stood up. Took all of like 30 seconds. We laid hands on him and he was healed. And so why was that? Because he exercised the measure of faith that he knew. That was as much as he had to give at that time, and God honored it because he gave as much as he had. It's like the woman with the two mites, how she gave all that she had and God honored that. And that same thing is true with faith. You know, now had he been in this church for 5 years, that wouldn't have been enough. If he had been hearing the word, hearing the word, hearing the word, hearing the word, may not have been enough. But he did what he knew, and God honored that. Now, I know someone who has some things, a woman going through some things in her body. She does not go to this church. She is born again. And I told her, I said, you know, the word, and I told her what the word said on healing, and I said, if you'll make this confession with me, and I'll agree with you until you come to town about what God is doing in your body, when you come to town, I'll lay hands on you, and you'll be whole. And then God's going to bless you with a baby. And she was in full agreement. And I kept encouraging her, encouraging her, encouraging her, because how many of you know the enemy comes immediately for the word's sake? And so there was a short period of time between when I ministered to that to her over the phone and when she came to town. And by the time she came to town, she had believed the enemy. And she did not come to church. I did not lay hands on her. She did not get healed, and she did not have a baby. And I know, just that inward knowing, that that was a step of faith to her. That's all God expected her to do, was make that step of faith. He didn't say she had to come to church Monday and or Sunday and Wednesday for the rest of her life. You know, he didn't give any other expectation. But I knew that she at least knew that much, she had to take that step. And if she would take that step, God would meet her there. So listen, you don't have to do all. You have to do what you know. That's what God expects. Amen. And sometimes, because it's been a period of time between the time we started believing and the time that it came to pass, the enemy will start to tell you that it's not working. It's not working. But I want you to know, you keep using the measure that you have. You keep using the measure that you have, and God meets you there. Amen. You know, I don't know if you've ever played cards. Everybody in my family plays cards. You just do, you know. And so you always have to partner up. And you never want to partner with Grandpa. He's not a good partner. But anyway, so you have to partner up. And, you know, a lot of times when you're playing a card game, there's a trump card, you know. And so you're on a team with another person, and, you know, you don't have the trump card, but you're hoping they got the trump card. And so anyways, as you're playing that along, you're looking for your partner to play that card. And listen, it's like that with us. You know, we give our best effort. We give our best effort. And as we do that, God puts in his faith, which is the trump card, and causes it to come to pass. Hallelujah. Listen, because we win. We win. It don't matter if it takes 6 months. It don't matter if it takes 6 years. I'm still going to be standing here in faith. Glory to God. I encourage you, do not let go of what you're believing for. Hold on to it with all that you've got. Put your faith on that. And you tell God, God, no matter what, I'm not letting go. I will receive the end of my faith. Hallelujah. Do you know the Bible says that the Lord is Alpha and Omega? He's the beginning and the end. And so we're sure at the beginning of the trial, he's here for me. He's got this. God's on my side. He's bigger. I see my way out. And then we get toward the end and we're not so sure. But you know what's at the end? God, the manifestation of what we're believing for. So listen, keep holding on. Hold on. Don't hold on to anything but the word. Hold to the word. The key ingredient to faith is the word. You know, because the word works when all else fails. Glory to God. So go with me over here, please, to Romans chapter 1. You're already in Romans. Go to chapter 1. See, because we get living life, verse 17, we get living life, and it's easy sometimes to forget, oh yeah, I needed to use faith for that. Because did you know God wants you to use faith in every area of your life? Whether it's your kids, your finances, your job, your joy, your mental health, all of those things. And sometimes it's easy to forget, but he wants to be involved in every area of our life. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. And so recently, I use my iPad for Bible study. There's an app on there, an Olive Tree app. If you don't have anything from Olive Tree, I encourage you to get it. It makes it wonderful to study your Bible. And so all of my study materials are on my iPad. Everything that I do to communicate with the church and people outside the church is on my iPad. And so I needed it. And the one that I had bit the dust totally. I mean, it wouldn't turn on, it wouldn't charge, it wouldn't do anything. And so I needed another one. And I had this great idea that my husband was going to buy me one. And I even said, I don't want to believe for that. I just want him to buy me one. And not naturally, but in the spirit realm, he went like this. And so, and I just kept with it. You know how sometimes you dig your foot in and you're like, no, I'm getting this. And so I'm not believing for it. I even said, I don't want to believe for it. I just want him to give it to me. And how many of you know not one thing happened? And listen, naturally speaking, my husband loves to bless me. He buys me lots of things. He'll give me money for things. He's very generous to me. You know, many times he'll surprise me with something. He's very good that way. And if he knows I want something, he'll work to get it. And so anyways, nothing's happening. Not one thing. And anytime I kind of try and like slip it into the conversation, he shuts it down. So I'm like, huh, I guess I'm going to have to resort to believing for this. I started believing for an iPad, and you know, it came like that. And my husband started telling me he's going to buy me one. And I went, God was so good, so quick to show me what a big difference there is. That, listen, even if it's a little thing, is an iPad a big deal? It's not a big deal. It's just a natural thing. But he wanted to teach me, live by faith. Even the little things, the things that you don't think are of any consequence, talk to God about it. Ask him. Ask him to be involved in it. Go with me to Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Hallelujah. We're going to learn some things today about faith. Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to share with you that this is the step that I didn't want to do. But don't you skip it. Learn a lesson from me. You know how we always do like tell on Pastor Tim moments? We just had, you know, tell on Katie moment. Matthew chapter 7. Because it's real easy to think that, you know, just the little things, it's not a big deal. But let me tell you that it's good to practice faith on the little things that don't matter much for when you really need it. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. And he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks it shall be opened. You know, because how many times have we skipped that step? We have struggled with something. We have labored with something. We have toiled in something. We wanted something in our marriage to change. We wanted something in our business to change. We wanted something in our body to change. And we didn't even ask. And so don't forget to ask. Hallelujah. That we talk to him about those things. Lord, I ask you to be involved in my marriage. I ask you to help me in this area. It's very simple. It's very plain. You know, a lot of times people think that when they pray, that has to be some big, elaborate thing, and it doesn't. It's just you talking to God out of your heart. Amen. Sincerity. You know, my son, Michael, at night, he does not like sleep, okay? He's like his daddy. They like to be up all night long. And so Pastor Nancy Dufresne, she's the same way, and I asked her, because she has to get up early to go to work and to minister and those sorts of things, and I said, Pastor, how do you get up and do all that? You know, how do you get up when you've been awake most of the night? And she goes, grumpy, very grumpy. You know, don't talk to me for a little while in the morning. And so Michael, a lot of times, he'll get in bed and he'll go, Mom, how long is this going to take? You know, he wants to know how long sleep is going to take. Or I put him in bed and he's back down 5 minutes later. Last night I was on the couch studying and he said, Mom, I tried real hard and I just can't sleep. And I go, honey, well, you only gave it like 5 minutes. You need to give it a little longer. And so at nighttime, he'll say, Mom, could you come lay in my bed with me for a few minutes? And so I go over there, and Michael's always had this thing where he likes to hug me around the neck. Like he'll hold on with both of his arms and just hug me. And it's just one of the most precious things as a parent to have your child do that to you. And so when that happened, it ministered to me something else, that's what the Father wants. You know, sometimes we think it's this big, elaborate prayer, and we have to quote 20 scriptures, and we haven't been praying for 10 years, and how do we do it? We just go in and fellowship with him. Just be real sweet and tell him we love him and talk to him about what we want help with. Amen. It's not hard. It's very easy. Faith isn't hard. Praying isn't hard. Believing isn't hard. Receiving isn't hard. It's only hard if we make it hard. Amen. So go with me over here to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to share with you just a couple things out of the Bible about the enemies of faith. 2 Peter chapter 1. So we know that faith comes by hearing, so we guard those things that we hear. We also know that it matters to God every part of our faith walk, even those things that are little. And now we want to see what the enemy to faith is. And I'm going to share this with you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And besides this, give all diligence and add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience good godliness. And so one thing that I want to talk to you about is temperance. And another word for temperance would be self-control. And so a lot of times what happens is that there are things that come to distract us and to steal our attention, and we need to exercise self-control to make sure that doesn't happen. Because we live in a time, you know, that there are many distractions. You know, things are so easily and quickly available. And you can get online on your phone. You can do it in the grocery store. You can do it in the parking lot. You know, there's almost nowhere that you can't access something online. And it's available to us through all these devices that we can easily carry in our purses and in our pockets. And so, you know, before, when I was a kid, you had to be home to get a phone call. You know, you had, if you wanted to talk to somebody, you told them, call me at such and such a time, and then you had to be there to receive that phone call. When I tried to explain to my kids that you didn't always carry a phone with you, they still don't understand. And it's really funny because, you know, Tim has a landline in his office, and Timothy will say to me, well, what is this for? I'm like, it's the phone, you know, the regular phone. Because kids are just so used to you being able to take these devices with you everywhere you go. And when you can take those devices with you everywhere you go, it's nice for convenience, for business and that sort of thing. But also you take your distraction with you everywhere you go. And you get so used to no downtime. There's no quiet time. That you have 5 minutes to wait in a doctor's office and you're, you know, on your phone. And we all do it. And there is a danger in that. You know, one, because a lot of times in the quiet time, the Holy Ghost will speak to us, but also because it's a distraction. You know, the video games that are out now and that sort of thing, they're distractions. And what we need to do is guard against the distractions because they're an enemy to our faith. And it's different for everybody. You know, certain people have hobbies, and a hobby is not bad. You know, work, being on your iPad is not bad. Being on your phone is not bad. But when it crosses the line where it's too much, then it's, you know, an injury to your faith. And how do you know what's too much? You know, because your heart tells you that it's okay for these 15 minutes, but that's it. And so many times we keep going with that. But the Bible says we're to exercise self-control. And so we're going to say no to those things. We're going to put those things down because they're a distraction to our faith. Hallelujah. And let me share this other thing with you out of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. It says, to godliness add brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness add love. And then go over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know this is the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. Because, go to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. Because I want to share something to you that the Lord told me. We were on vacation earlier this summer. And when we were on vacation, Tim would take the kids every morning, and they would go down to the four-wheel drive beach, and they would catch crabs and all kinds of stuff down there, climb the dunes and everything. And I had opportunity to sleep in. Because when we're on vacation, Tim loves to get up early, and I like to sleep in. So our schedules are opposite, and so we kind of switch roles when we're on vacation. And so he had the kids, and he took them down to the beach, and I had slept in for a while, and I got up, and I was just sitting on the couch, looking out the window, you know, watching the ocean, and I was praying for Tim. And how many of you know that's a good thing? You know, you pray for your spouse, believe for them. And I pray for him more than anybody else. And so I'm praying for him. And while I'm praying for him, the Lord ministered this to me. Let me share it with you out of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mystery, and I have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burned, and I have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, could we look at that in the Amplified version, please? Sometimes our computers freeze up, because the sound people always get the evil eye, but it might not be them. It's sometimes the computers just freeze up. So it says, but when I have not love, God's love in me, I'm nothing, a useless nobody. And so as much as these things that are distractions are an enemy to faith, love is a companion to faith. And when I was sitting there and I was praying for my husband and I'm releasing my faith, quoting scriptures over him and praying in the Holy Ghost for him, and the Lord said to me that he wanted me to, it wasn't so much at this time to release faith for him as it was to add acts of love to him. And that, yes, it was important that I was praying for him and releasing my faith for him, but more important that I gave more love toward him. And how many of you know when it's you and God in your prayer closet, it's very kumbaya, and it's just you and him, and oh, I love you, Lord. And then when it involves other people, it involves other people. And then you have their personality, your personality to work with, and so on. And so I'm like, but Lord, I love this faith thing where I get to pray and release my faith, and it's you and me. And he wants me to do more acts of love. And so our faith without works is dead, but our faith without love is useless. And so what had happened was my faith got way out beyond where my acts of love were. And I need that to catch up a little bit. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful? And he ministered that to me in such a sweet, loving way. And so I encourage you that it's good to release faith. But if you really want your faith to work, we need to walk in love. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We want to know what makes our faith work. And one thing that makes our faith work, it's a companion to our faith, is love. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. This says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And so we have to guard our heart that we act right toward people. And how many of you know that pretty much from the time you wake up in the morning till the time you go to bed at night, there's temptation to be judgmental? It could be about your husband. It could be about the person on TV. You know, it could be about somebody you saw on your iPad that you don't even know. It's about what people wear, how they say something, what they looked like, how they behaved, the clerk at the grocery store. And so there's always these temptations of being judgmental. You have an idea about what they should have done, and they didn't meet it. And so I memorized this scripture. I put it in my heart. You know, because you can know a scripture, you know, what it says by word, but not have it in here. But if you'll just keep going over it, it'll get in here. And so to get that on the inside, and so I can use it every day out of my heart, just not out of memory. And so when those thoughts come of, well, who does she think she is? What do they think they're doing right now? Those types of things come, you can go, no, I take no thought about that. I have no judgment whatsoever about what they should be doing, what they are doing, what they did before. And that will save you a lot of heartache in life, and it'll guard your faith. Yeah. Amen. And listen, I just want you to know everyone isn't going to do it right, including us. And don't you want people to extend grace to you? That when you didn't do it right, they go, you know what? It's okay. You know what Tim says to me? He goes, I didn't even notice. And I'm like, he's so sweet. Yeah, I didn't even notice. I'm like, I know we did, you know. But he's just loving on me, being sweet, just being gracious. How about this? Okay, this might not be anything to you, but to me. When you need to be somewhere, and your spouse knows you need to be somewhere, and they know what time you need to be somewhere, and they come in 5 minutes before you need to be there. And, you know, they got to watch the kids so you can be there. And there's a real temptation. Oh, you know, you feel your emotions getting high. It's okay, love. Because listen, it's more dangerous to walk out of love than it is to be late. And while we purpose to be on time, that is very important, that we're excellent, you know, that we're where we should be, when we should be, and those sorts of things. But it's going to cost us more to be out of love than it is to be late. You know, and so we all have relationships, whether it's with siblings, with parents, with kids, with spouses, with coworkers, whatever it is, where we're going to have to exercise, judge not that you be not judged. Because as critical and judgmental as we are of other people, that's measured back to us. You know, we know that all of life operates on seed time and harvest, that we reap what we sow. And so look at the harvest that you want and sow in that direction. If you don't want to reap judgment, you know, if you don't want to reap critical people saying things about you, don't sow it. That we believe the best. You know what? Maybe they were going through a trial and they didn't mean to act like that. You know, maybe their spouse said something rough to them and they didn't mean it. You know, maybe they're under pressure because they don't have money for their mortgage payment. You know, believe the best. That maybe they're giving it their all and you just happen to catch them at a weak moment. We've all had those. And be gracious when those times come. And the last thing that I wanted to share with you is this. That we, you know, as a congregation, we pay attention to what our pastor repeats over and over and over again. And we know that, you know, when he talks about, you know, different times when someone left the church or got offended or didn't stay in their local church, that he usually says this: there are two reasons why people leave. There are two reasons why people fail in their local church: money and marriage. And so what that means to us is that we need to guard those two areas strongly regarding our faith, money and marriage. There is, in the whole time that he's been pastoring, you know, and the people that he's met with and the people that he has seen leave after years of being here, that there's always a breakdown in either one or both. And so your marriage, your finances are worth your faith. And don't be like me and just say, it'll just come to me. It'll just come to me. He should just bring it to me when I did with my iPad. And that's okay in the sense that, you know, it still worked out. God gave me a lesson on that and I got the iPad. But let's not treat our marriage and our finances like that. Let's hold those of greater esteem. That we honor those things and use our faith in those areas. Because those are areas that the enemy's going to come and try and trip us up. And so we guard those things. And, you know, there was a couple that was with us for years. And they served sort of, you know, sporadically. And they were believing for increase in their business, you know, with customers and different things. And so, you know, as a pastor, you know things about your congregation and you try and help them. And what we knew was they needed a greater level of faithfulness for a greater level of increase. And so the Lord tried to present them with opportunities over and over again to be faithful in their local church, tried to give them other opportunities to serve in different ministries. And every time that we would go to them, and we went to them a couple times, not because we had a need, although it would have helped us, but to help them. And they closed that door. What they did was say no to the increase God tried to bring to them. And then over time, years of that happening, they finally got offended, like, this faith stuff doesn't work. This prosperity message doesn't work. And yet it was what God was trying to get to them, that he had more for them. He wanted to answer their prayer. He was trying to get them increased financially. He was trying to get them more customers. But there's a part that we have to play. And the part that they had to play was increase faithfulness. Because how many of you know, as you increase your faithfulness, regardless of what area it's in, regardless of what level it's in, your finances increase. And so do other things. Amen. And so I hope that today you are encouraged and stirred in faith, hallelujah, and that you'll use your faith daily for your marriage, for your finances, and guard those distractions that try and steal your faith, hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we bless you.